Father, we thank you so much for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for the privilege of coming to church, because in the house of God, we hear the voice of God. And the voice of God is a lamp unto our feet, and it is the light unto our path. And so we're praying, Lord, that you will let that light shine in our direction this morning. We pray, Lord, for your blessing on the preaching and teaching of your word. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit to help us in our infirmities. In the name of Jesus, bless us, Lord, this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, be seated. Amen. All right. Okay. Are we blessed to be here today? It's really good. Laura, it's good to see you. Did you get my message? Is this your sister? Wow. So this is the other one I haven't met. Okay, that is beautiful. Amen. Okay. So are you going to come sing for us then? You try. Put your hands together for Laura and just come sing us a song. Yeah, come up now and sing us a song real quick. Amen. It's beautiful. Hallelujah. Okay. Yeah. You want to be down, up, hand? We have so many different places here. Amen.
Like I said, I told him earlier, my voice is it's gone, but I'll do it for God's glory. I'll try. Jesus.
You gave me hope, and you made me whole at the
blessing. Amen. I see God is sending a lot of good singing people my way. Amen. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. All right, Lamech, you're next. All right. Okay. So let's go to the Bible and let's grab our books. We've been studying Many Are Called. Many Are Called. And we're studying from chapter 4, characteristics of called people. You know, the sorts of people you can expect God to call. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, last week we reread an important verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we read how he said, look at your calling. Verse 26. It says, ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. Hallelujah. Amen. So it looks like God specializes in calling people who sort of fall below the mark as set by humans. Amen. Human beings have a standard for who they think God should call, who they think God should use. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that you can see your calling, that there are not many wise men after the flesh. That means wise as defined by human standards. Do you see what I'm saying? Because wise actually depends on who is defining it. When human beings say wise, they often mean something different from when God says wise. So for example, you have people that are called wise by humans who say there is no God. But such people, God looks at them and calls them fools, because the Bible says the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Do you see what I'm saying? So you see a person that is held or esteemed by humans, you know, and by the world as being wise, clever, smart, etc., because of his omission of the faith and belief in God, God's perspective on such a person is totally different. So when human beings think you are up, God actually thinks you're all the way down there. Hallelujah. Another verse, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So a person who has no fear of God, who has no regard for God, who has no consciousness of God, or who does not include God, you know, as an important element or factor in his decisions, his daily living, his choices, and so on, you know, has not even begun to be wise. He says that when someone starts to be wise, your first step in wisdom is your fear of the Lord. And this fear is not fear as in afraid, even though it sort of incorporates an element of that, that you have a fear, you have a sense of consciousness about God and his role in your life, and you know that it doesn't all depend on you. You see what I'm saying? People who fear God talk like by the grace of God. You know, when they're talking, you hear them referring to God by the grace of God. I'm grateful to God. You know, by God's grace, God willing. You see, they don't just say, oh, I'm going to come see you tomorrow. You know, because they know that much as they can have a plan, there's a power that is greater than them that can scramble that whole plan. You see what I'm saying? Scramble that whole plan. Have you seen scrambled eggs? You know, before you scramble the eggs, you can tell the yolk. The yolk is neatly arranged in a nice oval circular shape and it's nicely there until you bring the fork. And then when you start to go like that, you can't tell where the yolk is. Even the whole thing is now some different color. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And people who have a fear of the Lord know that it's not up to them. It's not just up to their planning and so on and so forth. But there is also an invisible determinant, which is actually greater than all the other things you have in place, that can scramble everything, can scramble your education, can scramble. You have your own plan. You thought your green card will bring you, you know, so many green bills. You see, and then you have a green card and you see there are no green papers coming with it. You see what I'm saying? So many different things can just be scrambled. So the fear of the Lord is the start of wisdom. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why this scripture is saying that you see that in your calling, or you observe the calling and you see that there are not so many people who have been called, or wise people who are wise people as defined by men, who have been included in the calling. Hallelujah. And then it says, not many mighty, you know, and not many noble, not many big shots are included. Because God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised. So God likes the junkyard. Hallelujah. God loves a junkyard. God loves a human junkyard. God likes places and people that have been despised by others. Hallelujah. When you feel despised, you must begin to rejoice, because chances are that God has started moving towards you. God is about to choose you to confound the wise and to confuse everybody. Because when God is through with you, no one can even believe or recognize what God has made out of a life like yours. Hallelujah. Yeah. The things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not. That means things which are nothing. You know, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Hallelujah. So that no human being can boast, because God is going to make great things out of things or people that you didn't consider to be great. Hallelujah. One of the powerful things which people despise, which people feel is nothing, which God uses mightily, is preaching. Preaching is not regarded by many people. You know, last night I flew with a guy who was telling, when he, you know, he was telling me, as soon as I sat by him, he started talking and telling me what job he was actually moving to LA. He was coming to start a new job with some gaming company or something like that. I mean, he was feeling really good about it, and he just kept talking and talking and talking. And after he had talked for a while, then he asked me, "So you, what do you do?" I said, "I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher." He said, "Huh? Really? Wow. It's good to know that there are some people of faith in LA." He said, "It's good to know that there are some people who still believe." I said, "Yeah, I still believe. I still believe." He said, "Wow, I need to know someone like you." I said, "Yeah." You know, so he, when we left the plane, he gave me his number. I gave him mine. Then I sent him a text. You know, he said, "It was really great meeting you." Then I replied that, "You know, I look forward to sharing your life in LA." Amen. Amen. But you see, there are people who do not believe that, or people who think, I should say, that God cannot use people who are nothing. Hallelujah. God specializes in junkies, people that have been thrown away. So if you ever start feeling worthless, you better believe that God is interested in you. One of the reasons why God likes people who are down and out is because, you know, such people are humble. Do you see? Yeah, such people are humble. And he uses such people. They are easier to obtain by God. They are easier. Their humility, their lowliness makes them easier to reach. Occasionally you meet people who are down and out and proud. Hey, that is a very terrible combination. It's lethal. When you're down, you're out, and you're proud. That one is a problem. Hallelujah. So I was telling you that one of the things that God uses is preaching. You know, that people don't find preaching powerful. But you see a person who has been to prison so many times, even the threat of going to prison does not stop him. Have you met one of those criminals who is actually committing a crime because they want to go back to jail? Yeah, there are people like that. There are people who are not afraid of prison. In fact, they feel safer within the prison walls. The world scares them. Coming out into this huge space called the world is too frightening for them. So they come out of jail and then they commit another crime just to go back, you know, and stay there, watch TV, you know. Yes, you don't have to think about a job, rent, all these things are free, right? So you think about people who cannot be changed by the police, people who cannot be changed by handcuffs, people who cannot be changed by such things. And yet, through the foolishness and simplicity of preaching, a person starts to go to church and he hears the word of God just preaching, 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 preaching. Suddenly you see their lives changing. I remember a long time ago, a certain woman joined our church, you know, and she joined the church because she wanted to see the church that has been able to change her son. She just said that, I want to see the church that has turned my son around. Yeah, so she just came to the church. She joined the church, actually, because her son was notoriously bad. Notoriously bad. Nothing could change him. You know, nothing could change him. Then this son came to church and preaching began to affect him. Is the AC on? Yeah? She turned it on because it's getting warm in here. All these lights contributing their portion of heat. Amen. Her son was notoriously bad. Terrible guy. And then suddenly this boy followed a certain girl to church. Yeah. So even his badness actually took him to the church. He was following this girl. But this girl went to church. And so the boy ended up going to church. And then he sat there. He had a mind that he was pretending, you know, to be in the church because of the girl. But as he got exposed to the foolishness of preaching and the simplicity of preaching, the baseness of preaching, he started to change. Something started to change in this guy. And soon he could no longer be the same anymore. Hallelujah. And then he changed. He changed completely. And when his mother saw how changed he was, she said, I need to go to the same church which has changed my son. Hallelujah. Amen. So God uses things like that. He uses simple things to do his work and to accomplish his purposes. Amen. Amen. So we're talking about the different people that God uses. Number one, we said he uses failures. God calls failures, isn't it? Number two, he calls who? Unworthy people, isn't it? Number three, God calls people who have been rejected. Amen. God calls people who have been rejected. And that's not a surprise. Number four, God calls people who are not believable, or people who are not credible. Number five, God calls people with an inferiority complex. People who look down on themselves, God still calls them and God uses such people. Amen. Amen. Number six, God calls people who have failed at earlier attempts at ministry. Hallelujah. God gives people a second chance. God gives people a third chance. God is just that kind of a God who does not give up on people. God does not give up on people. And God will not give up on you. Amen. Hallelujah. You may have tried to be good many times and failed along the way. And gradually it's beginning to affect your estimation of yourself. Even it's affecting your interest in trying. Because when you think of trying, you think of failing again. You see, and you feel like it's not even worth trying. Hallelujah. But God calls such people also. God calls people who have failed at earlier attempts in ministry, earlier attempts at being a good Christian, etc. Amen. Then number 7, God calls people who are not eloquent. Isn't it? God calls people who are not eloquent. You know, and this is where we were talking about Moses, because God needed someone to represent him before a king. He needed someone to do a speaking job, and he chose the person whose peculiar handicap was speaking. He couldn't speak well. You know, he was a stutterer and he had a problem with being able to speak properly. And God said, "You are the one I want." Hallelujah. You are the one I want. There's something else in you that I will use. Amen. So don't let any limitation stop you. Hallelujah. You may say, "I can't sing like these wonderful people," or "I can't play an instrument," or "I can't do this or that." You know, you'll be surprised what God is going to use you to do. Can I have an amen? The big thing is availability. And when you are available, God will fix you. Hallelujah. Have you seen a crushed car fixing itself? No, it's the one who purchases it who fixes it. Hallelujah. As the Lord has purchased you with his blood, he will fix you and put you back together and use you for his glory. Say amen. Right. So let's continue. Number 8. Number 8, God calls young people. Hallelujah. God calls young people. God is very interested in young people. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, Then said I, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Amen. He said, "I cannot speak because I am a child." You know, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back a little bit and let's read from, we can start from the beginning. Why not? Amen. Amen. Are you still here?
Oh, yes.
All right. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, let's start from verse 1. It says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah," and so on. Then verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me." The word of the Lord came unto me. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Ask your neighbor, do you believe that? What did they say? He said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Hallelujah. In other words, none of us is an accident. Hallelujah. This is great news for everybody. That God says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you." How did he know someone before they were formed? It's a bit like a building. Before any building is constructed, there's nothing about it that's a surprise to the one who is building it. Because before they form the building, they know it by designing it. Do you understand? So when a constructor or a builder puts up a three-bedroom house or apartment or whatever it is, he doesn't go into the building and get shocked that there are three rooms here. Do you see what I'm saying? He doesn't go upstairs after the thing is painted and everything and then say, wow, three rooms. No. Because before the building was ever put up, it was known. Do you understand? So God is saying that before I put you together, before I formed you, I knew you. That means there's nothing about you that is a surprise to God. God knew exactly what he was getting when he was making you. Do you understand? And actually, he did make you the way you have been made for a purpose. You are not an accident. Your strengths, your weaknesses, everything you can do, everything you cannot do, have been designed by God himself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That God put you together in a special way. That is one of the reasons why you shouldn't look down on yourself. Yeah. God knew what he was getting. I mean, God knew exactly what he was getting. He said, before I formed you, listen, your stature, your height, your color, all those things were known by God. Do you understand? Yeah. They were all known by God. All your vital stats were known by God. Your genetic composition was known by God. It was actually arranged and set up by God. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because when God takes two parents and puts two people together, there is an unlimited range of, or maybe not quite unlimited, but there's a wide range of genes and features and things you can pull from this person and pull from that person, you know. So God is like someone who is making a human being, and he's picking, you know, and he picks this nose from your grandfather, and then he picks your lips from your grandmother, and then puts the two together and looks at it. This one goes better with not this grandfather, but perhaps the great grandfather's nose should match with grandmother's eyes. You see, and so he keeps combining and combining and combining, and he makes a very unique person out of you. Hallelujah. And so he said, before I formed you, I knew you, you know. And then he said, and before you came forth, before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. I sanctified you before you were born. Before you came out of the womb, I sanctified. To sanctify means to set aside. So God says he puts people aside even before they come forth. And then he said, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. You know? Then when God says that to Jeremiah, his response, he says, then said I, ah, Lord. He said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. When God is choosing you even as a fetus, you, a grown-up, are saying, I am a child. When God says that even when you were a baby, I sanctified you and I ordained you and I designed your mission and your purpose. And I said that you are going to go forth. You are just the right person to go forth to the nations and preach for me and do my work. Then he comes forth. He says, ah, Lord God. Say, ah, Lord God. Say, ah. Say, ah, Lord God. That is his way of asking God, you can't be serious. Ah, Lord God. You can't be serious. How could you choose me? Look at me, my age. But this scripture tells us, he says in verse 7, the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee shall thou speak. Hallelujah. Then he says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Amen. So God has a very high interest in young people. Amen. In 1 John chapter 2, there is a very interesting scripture, verse 14. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Then he says, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And then I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. Hallelujah. You are strong. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Hallelujah. Listen, God is interested in young people. Hallelujah. God has a high interest in people who are young. And you notice that the devil also has a very high interest in people who are young. Most of the evils in this world are done by young people. Yeah. The devil knows that to accomplish his purposes, you need young people. Because youthfulness goes with a lot of energy. You see, look at it. It says, I'm writing to you because you are strong. Your strength is an attraction to me. God says your strength is an attraction to me. The fact that you can stay up all night texting, you know, all night texting and still make it to work at 8 o'clock. He said, I love that about you. It's an attraction to me. It's an attraction to me. The way you can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. He said, that's an attraction to me. The way you can travel and go very far to go chase a woman. He said, I just love that about you. If I can get hold of that, can you imagine what I can do with it? I mean, if I can get you to go, you travel. There are people who live in LA who travel to Vegas. You know, they leave here, Vegas, Saturday morning, and then they stay there till the evening and blow time there in Las Vegas and come back to LA in the morning. Yeah, to go see a woman in Las Vegas. And God said, man, I could use that. Because working for me involves following people up. Yeah. So a guy that knows how to chase a woman, God likes such a guy. Yeah, if I can get this person, man. So you'll be surprised that God is interested in you. There is a lot about you that God can use. Yeah. There is a lot about you that God can use. Your patience, even with people. Your patience. Trying to wrap a woman to go to bed with you and, you know, just coming one step at a time. You know, each time just saying something that softens her up. Just a little more. Just a little more. Just a little more. And God is just thinking, you know, if I can get this person. Wow. And put him on the trail of that unbeliever. Eventually we'll find that person in the church serving the Lord. Because he knows how to take his time and knows how to pick his words and speak one word at a time. And not rush, not rush. Sometimes we can't get people to come to church or to serve the Lord because we're impatient. Hey you, will you come to church with me? No, I can't come today. You don't like God. Go away. But God knows there are people who are patient, who know how to work it. They know how to just work it. You understand? They bring a rose here, you know, and pretend they don't want anything. Is this for me? Oh, yes, for you. Yeah. And they work their way slowly into your heart. Before you know it, you are falling. You are just softened up. And God says, I can use that. I can use that. God likes young people. He likes people who have faith, people who can take risks. Young people like to take risks. Yeah. See, young people don't think a whole lot. When you are older, you see, when you are older, your spectrum of thinking just goes wider and broader because you just become more experienced. without intending to be that experienced. Do you understand? You just happen to have seen more things, which force themselves into your spectrum of thoughts. Before you take a step, you consider from here to here. But a young person, by virtue of his inexperience, doesn't have a whole lot to consider. Do you see what I'm saying? So they take steps and they take risks. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. They take steps, they take risks, they do all kinds of things. I remember when I met my wife, she was my beloved. She wasn't even my beloved at the time. I was now, you know. I used to borrow my brother's car. Before my brother would give me his car, the fuel gauge was always on, you know. It was even beyond empty. You know, and he would give me the car. And then I would get in this car and I would try to drive the car to go see her. You know, and I was, you know, very broke. I didn't have any money. You know, sometimes I would go to the gas pump and buy 1 liter. No, 1 liter. Like, you know, those two water bottles, like two of them. The 500 ml water bottles. I would buy like two of them. You think about that. By the time you start the car. But I had a lot of faith. You know, I would put that in the car. I would start the car. I would drive a little bit. I would put it in neutral, glide it a little bit. You know, shut off the engine. Just let the car go down the slope. Just go down, 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 down. I mean, down, down until the car is almost stopping. Then I would start it, you know, and put it in gear and move it a little bit and shut it off. That's what young people do. As you get older, you start to consider so many things. If I break down, who's going to tow me and all these things. A young person doesn't even think about towing. It doesn't even fall into your thinking anywhere at all. Hallelujah. And it is this spirit of adventure that actually accomplishes things for God. Hallelujah. An older person starts, as we grow older, we become more conscious of ourselves. Even to invite someone to church, you are thinking, what if they say no? You know, and it bothers you that you would ask someone to do something and they'll say no. But a young person doesn't really think much about it. They'll ask you and you say no, and they would even pretend they didn't hear it. They will ask again and you say no, and then they would ask again and you say no, and they would ask again and you say no. Don't your children do that to you? Yeah. Yeah. When you've said no, you keep asking the same thing. I have a son like that. You know, I have just two, but one of them. One day he told me, I'm going to keep asking you for this till I get it. And eventually I found myself getting it. Yeah. Young people have that kind of faith. Hallelujah. So God loves young people. Young people have energy. Don't say you are too young to be used by God. Hallelujah. Don't say you are too young to be used by God. Young people, let me just read the book to you. Many young people reject the call of God because they feel that they are too young for something as noble and distinguished as the ministry. Another reason why young people stay away from ministry is because of their sexual proclivity, you see, and numerous temptations. The sexual feeling is so base in its nature that it is followed by feelings of unworthiness and carnality. Do you see? A young person has sex on their minds all the time. All the time they are thinking about sex. Do you see what I'm saying? Many young people wish they were without those feelings so they could serve the Lord in holiness. He says, God called me as a young person and I constantly battled with these feelings of unworthiness. Because of this, I was very happy to discover that Elijah was a man of like passion. Did Elijah really have the same passions as I seemed to be having? This encouraged me to carry on in the ministry, even though I was a very young boy. When I discovered that Levites were to serve the Lord from the age of 25 and upwards, I was even more encouraged that I had served the Lord as a young man. Indeed, it is easy to relegate the call of God to the mature and the elderly, since they seem more dignified and suitable for such responsibilities. But dear friend, dignity is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy, on the other hand, which you often find in young people, is a fruit of the Spirit. I am glad I served the Lord as a young person, and I would encourage you to follow the call of God in spite of your youthfulness. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. Serve the Lord. The Bible says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Serving God is for young people. Serving God is for young people. Serving God is for young people. Remember Him in the days of your youth. Because many of the things that we have to be done and accomplished serving the Lord, they are done with youthfulness. Hallelujah. The other day when we were on Hollywood Boulevard doing some outreach there, the street was full of young people. Young people, you know, it was even just interesting being there watching people. You know, watching people and what they were doing, the way they were dressed. I mean, it was like there was a competition. Who can be dressed up with the least covering? Who can wear the least clothing? You know, and that is what was happening in the place. And you can see it, that there were no older people there. You don't know. Young people alert at night. Hey! If God gets hold of your alertness, your ability to stay up at night in texting, if God could get hold of that, you know, and turn it around and make you into a prayer warrior. Hey! Wow. God could get you praying from midnight to 4 a.m. Yeah. Instead of WhatsApping from midnight to 4 a.m. Instead of Facebooking from midnight to 4 a.m. If God could get hold of your youthfulness. Yeah. No, not so with grown-ups. Grown-ups start sleeping at 9. Even 8 o'clock, they start falling asleep. Yeah. As you grow older, you see, because you are actually preparing for that permanent sleep. It's a lot of rehearsal. You get it? So there's a lot of practice. Every day you are practicing the sleep. See, even when you try to stay awake, you're just dropping off. You're just falling asleep. But young people have energy. Young people, when they're excited about something, the excitement itself supplies energy. And it keeps them going. Do you ever wonder why whether children get tired or not? Because there are kids who never walk. They skip all the time. When I was a kid, I didn't walk. I didn't walk anywhere. You know, it was between running and falling and running and falling, running up the stairs, falling and getting up, hurt, and just continuing and still trying to run. That is the life of a young person. That is attractive to God. So will you serve God with your youthfulness? Because I believe everybody here is young. Yeah, unless you want to call yourself old. Yeah. If you want to call yourself old, congratulations. But I believe everybody here is young. Amen. Relatively. Oh, yeah. Isn't it? We all can use our youthfulness to serve God. Amen. We can give our lives to the Lord. Amen. We can give our lives to the cause of God. Amen. The energy we have, the things we can do, you know, our ability to sleep anywhere, our ability to go on for long hours on very little, to survive on very little, you know, not needing so much. We can use all of that to help push the cause of God. Hallelujah. We can use it to help push the cause of God. Youthfulness, if it is not channeled, you see, the energy is so much that if you don't use it properly, the devil will get hold of the rest and he will redirect it into something that ends up destroying that person's life. You know, I watched how on Thursday there was one guy, I think he approached Paul probably to attempt to sell drugs to him. The last guy you prayed with, you know, because he walked up to you, isn't it? And he had something in his hand and he was trying to, before he knew it, he was giving his life to Christ. That's what young people can do. He approached God, Paul, And he had something in his hand, and he was, you know, trying to talk with him to see if Paul will, you know, say what. Because over there, when people are standing, loitering around, usually they are looking for something. And the guys who know, you know, the deal, they know that whole arrangement, and they know who to talk to and so on. So one of them approached Paul, and he was trying to, you know, evangelize Paul. And then Paul ended up evangelizing him. So before we saw it, the guy was saying the sinner's prayer. He was right there at the traffic light. He was just giving his life to Christ. That is what young people can do. God wants to use us like that. Hallelujah. So don't grow old too quickly.
Amen.
Amen. Don't grow old too quickly. Hold on to your youth as and your youthfulness as much as you can. Hold on to it. Retain as much of it as you can. Hallelujah. Even when you are growing old, refuse to grow old. Because you only get to be young once. Wow. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen. Amen. Say, I will serve the Lord with my youth. Say, I'm young. Talk to the nearest young person and say, you look so fresh and young. And hallelujah. God is very interested in this youthfulness. Amen. Next one, number 9. God calls people who are fearful. So he told the guy, he said, be not afraid of their faces. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Okay. There is much to be afraid of when God calls you to the ministry. It is not unusual for you to be filled with numerous fears. The fear of the unknown is in itself a challenge. The fear of failure, ridicule, embarrassment will always make you hold back. The fear of financial difficulty will grip your heart when you think of ministry. Actually, if you did not have any of these fears, I would wonder if you were normal. But none of these fears must keep you away from your calling, because fear is a demon. If you follow fear, you are following an evil spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. He says fear is a spirit. Fear is not a mood. It's not an emotion. It is a spirit.
That's right.
The Bible says fear is a spirit. Wow. And when you do things out of fear, you are actually being guided by a spirit.
Wow.
Who did not come from God.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are being guided by an evil spirit.
Wow.
No wonder when people hold back because of fear, they never prosper, they never flourish, they never do well. There is no one who's been afraid and who has held back, who has suddenly become prosperous and who is flourishing and who is doing well. Anyone who achieved anything is someone who defied fear and gave it a shot anyway. And they tried it anyway. They just tried it. And sometimes when you try things, you are surprised at the outcome. You're surprised at the result. You are actually surprised that when you ask somebody, okay, would you pray with me right here? And the person is actually praying with you. You are surprised. Because many things are just waiting for bold people.
Amen.
To pluck them. Hallelujah. Yeah. They are just waiting for people who are bold.
Amen.
To pluck them.
Amen.
They are waiting for people who have a dare in them and say, I'm going to give it a shot. I don't have anything to lose. After all, if you try it and you don't get it, you are just the same as what you were before. And if what you were before didn't scare you, you shouldn't be afraid of coming back there. Do you see what I'm saying? Fear will limit you. Fear will make you have nothing. In fact, it will even make you lose what you have. There are ladies who lose their spouses, their beloveds, their boyfriends, girlfriends, because too much fear. Your fear makes you an overload. It's like you are too much to be with. You are too intense. You cost too much to be with. Because you are always afraid. Who is he talking to? Whose number is this? You are questioning. Even we have to explain aunties and uncles. All these people, we have to explain them to you. Yeah. You should have a job with the FBI. You really should have that kind of a job. But your fear is ruining your relationship. Can't you see it? Your fear is destroying everything around you. Because nobody wants to be around someone who is constantly afraid, constantly suspicious. I had a friend who was telling me the other day, he said, you know, Pastor, you will not believe what happened. I was asleep when I felt someone just turning me, you know, just turning. And so I just sort of responded. You know, I thought it was going to be good news. But as the person turned me, then I saw the person put her hand in my pocket, just checking to see if she will find receipts and so on in my pocket at night. See, your fear is making you a nocturnal inspector of people's pockets in the night. God has not given you the spirit of fear. It is a demon that is leading you. Hallelujah. Fear of applying for jobs. What will they do? What can they do to you? What can they do to you? Yeah? What can they do to you? It's your right to apply for a job. Yeah. Fear of... Brother, he likes that sister, but he's afraid. Man. He's going around in circles and circles and circles. He's afraid. He's afraid. He's afraid. But the United Nations Human Rights Charter gives every man a right to found a family. Do you see what I'm saying? It gives everyone a right to found a family. Yeah. So you have a right to tell somebody, listen, I want you to be my partner in making my family. And they have a right also to say, I won't. That is it. So I exercise my right. You also exercise your right. Hey, and we are flowing. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Fear will make you not have many of the things that God has promised you. When God told his people, listen, I'm going to give you a promised land. The people thought it was bare land. So they sent out some spies, some people to go check out the land. 12 of them. When they went and they checked out the land, 10 of them came back and said, hey, did you say the Lord gave us that land? We saw giants and we saw all kinds of people there. How can God give us such a place? They didn't understand that the fact that God has given you something doesn't mean it's just lying there idle. If it was lying there idle, you know, it wouldn't be waiting for you. But God had given them something that actually belonged to someone. And they were going to have to put up a fight and courage to go take it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. They were going to be courageous. So when God was instructing Joshua to lead them into the promised land, he told them the only thing, he said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The only thing you need is to be very courageous. He said, I'm going to give it to you, but you need to be very courageous. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need to be very courageous. Because a lot of things that belong to you actually take courage to possess. It takes courage. It has a presentation like it doesn't belong to you, Lamech. But you need to be courageous and go for it. And go for it. He told Joshua, let me read it to you. Why not? It's all in the preaching. Why not? Yeah. So Joshua chapter 1, look at it real quick. And our time is almost up. But let's just look at it real quick. Amen. Joshua, can you find Joshua in your Bible? Joshua is the 6th book in the Bible, I think. And chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Then he says, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, and even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and going to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. You know, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. You know, for unto these people shalt thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Your only contribution to this project is be strong and very courageous. You imagine what God is telling them. God said, I'm going to give you every place that the sole of your foot shall tread. That have I given to you. In other words, if you can step into it, it's because I have given it to you. Do you understand? If you can step, the sign that it is yours is that you can actually step into it. If you can step into it, I have given it to you. And still he's saying that you need to bring a lot of courage with you. That means there are a lot of frightening things when God starts to bless you and God starts to bring you into the things he has promised. There are a lot of scary things. And he says you have to be strong. You shouldn't be one who gives up easily. Many things that belong to you do not present like I'm just around waiting to be taken. A lot of things will put up a fight before they yield to you. And so God said, look, I am going to do, I will bring you, I'll bring you to the place and I will deliver it to you and so on. Your contribution, you must be strong and courageous. I can't be courageous for you. God said, I can't be courageous for you. You have to be courageous. If you want to work for God, you have to be courageous. It takes courage to go somewhere to say we're starting a new church. What if nobody comes? You've got to be courageous. I have seen how many of our churches that started, you know, we started small, you know, just like over there in Oakland. The other day they said there were about 80 to 100 people or so in the church, you know. And I was just thinking about those days when we used to be 12. You know, we used to be 12, and out of the 12, I contributed 5. Myself, my wife, my 3 children. That's now 7. Elpak comes in. She contributes about those. Okay, 2 of her kids were like minus, or even 3 of them. So she contributed herself and her husband. So that's like 7. Do you see? Then plus 1 or 2 other people. And we keep going to church and looking at ourselves. I remember there was a day when we went to church and it was mostly myself and my family. I was even just thinking, what's the point? I could have worn my shorts to come here. Yeah, because it's these same people. Why do I even have to wear a jacket to impress them? Who see me in my pajamas every day? I could just have come to church in my pajamas. Not a big deal. It takes courage. Do you understand? You'll be surprised. Something that will work, it presents as though it will not work. Yeah, sometimes even a marriage that is going to be very sweet, very, very sweet, just down the line, round the bend, sweetness is waiting. Oh, it takes courage to continue to belong to it, to be strong. Temptation to give up. I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm gone. And you are still around. Courage. You'll be surprised that the thing is going to work. I say you'll be surprised that the thing is, this is the working type. But you see, many things that will work don't start like they will work. They don't start like they work. Goes up, down, then down. And you think it's finished. Before you know it, it starts to come up again. Then it starts to go up, then up, then up, then up, then dip. You've been on a roller coaster before. It's as though you're going to die. It is like you're going to die. Yeah. And you never die. It is like that. It is like that. Hallelujah. When I was invited to the ministry, I was so afraid. I was so terrified. The prospect of having to preach a sermon every Sunday, it was a big problem for me. I couldn't imagine it. You know, how can I preach a message every Sunday? You have to preach a new message every Sunday. You know, then I even ask myself, put that aside, even myself, how good am I? Do you understand? The things I'm going to talk about are things me, myself, I'm struggling with those things. But all that doesn't scare God. All that doesn't scare God. So you just be courageous. God wants you to be courageous. If you're not courageous, you will never have something good. Because most of the good things require a fight. Do you understand? They require a fight. You have to put up a fight. You have to struggle with faith and believe that it is yours. Believe that it can be yours. Believe that it can work. Believe that it is meant to be. This is meant to be. It is meant to be. And you'll be surprised. In the end, the thing starts working. When people see it, the whole thing looks like, oh, this is one of the creations of God from the Garden of Eden. It's like it is an original creation that was meant to be all this while. But many things are not like that. They are not like that. They are not like that. Hallelujah. Amen. So tell your neighbor, the fact that you're a fearful person doesn't mean God is not interested in you. Tell the person, I know you are afraid of many things. Yeah. But God is still interested in you. Hallelujah. God is still interested in you. You are afraid. Afraid to die. Afraid to die young. Afraid you'll fail. Afraid you'll disappoint people. Afraid you'll break the hearts of people. Afraid, you know, one of my fears was that if people start looking up to you, it means you lose entitlement to your private sins and delicacies. You see, and you cannot guarantee that you will not fall. But one step at a time. Amen. One day at a time. Amen. Now when I look back, it's been less. Yesterday the guy who sat next to me, he was asking me, so how long have you been a pastor? Then I started counting. Wow. You know, and I realized that I've been a pastor for 22 or so years. Wow. You know, and I didn't think I could be. You see, and I was very young when I started. Wow. You see the thing. Like 25 years or so. We used to counsel people when we were not even married ourselves. But me, I was not married. Then we'll be sitting people and we'll be doing marriage counseling. It takes courage. You have to be courageous. Yeah. If it's in the Bible, you can say it. Yeah. We'll just be sitting there. We don't even know what is. We don't have a clue what is in the marriage. But we'll be sitting there with the Bible and opening the pages. The Bible says that, you know, husbands have to love their wives. You know, and the Bible says wives have to submit to their husbands. You know, it's an arrangement made by God. You know, every human existence requires an arrangement. It defines obligations and it defines roles. And if we get it all jumbled up, we are not going to have peace. And they'll be listening. Meanwhile, we are not married. We don't know what is in marriage. Courageous. Hallelujah. I see you having courage. Amen. I see you having the courage to make a commitment to serve the Lord. That you can serve the Lord faithfully. That if you commit yourself to the Lord, yes, you will never die a backslider by the grace of God. Do you understand? You should never be afraid that if I start serving the Lord, what if I quit in the middle of it? You will not quit. Amen. You will not quit. Amen. You will serve the Lord to the end. Amen. One day at a time, Amen. You will serve the Lord till the end. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering and stand to your feet as we bring the service to a close. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, amen. See, when I first started leading a group, I was about 14 years old. Yeah, 14 years old. And in my school, they had a little choir and they put me in charge of it. And all the people in the choir, they were seniors. They were all older than me. They were big guys with hair on their legs and things. You see, yeah. When they come for choir practice, you see them with thick legs and they have hair on their legs. And I was a very young boy with a baby, round baby face. You see. But I let them. Yeah, I let them. And I haven't stopped leading people since. God is interested in young people. And your youthfulness must not discourage you. Rather, don't waste all your youthfulness going about chasing all kinds of things and then eventually coming to surrender the leftovers of your youthfulness to the Lord. While you're fresh and young, give it all to God. Give it all to God. Hallelujah. Use your cleverness for God. Amen. So God is interested, especially in your all-night texting. God is interested in that. Today we are receiving an offering of all-night texting. God wants you to put your all-night texting habit in the offering basket and say, Lord, I surrender this habit to you. Hallelujah. God wants you to give him your heart as a young person. You know, he wants you to give him your heart, your ability to get on the dance floor and dance all night. You know, make all kinds of moves, go down and come up. God says, look, bring it, bring it, bring it, bring it, bring it. I like it. Your shamelessness, God wants that. Yeah. Well, you're not thinking about who is looking. In fact, the more they look, the happier you are. Yeah, you want people to look at you. That is why you dress funny. That's why you wear all kinds of things. Because when you pass, you enjoy the heads that turn after you. God is saying, you don't seem to mind attention. I need that. I can use that. Hallelujah. I can use that. So bow your heads with me, everybody. Just begin to pray. And say, Lord, today I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my youthfulness. I want to give you whatever is left of it. You know, I know, Lord, that I'm not 10 years old or 12 years old or 13 years old or anything like that. But whatever is left of my youthfulness, whatever is left of my youthfulness, I give it to you. And Lord, I know that you call people who are afraid. So even my fears, I'm not going to let them hold me back today. I'll not let my fears, the fear of the future, the fear of the unknown, the fear of whether I can make it to the end, the fear of whether I can sustain this commitment, even the remembrance and the recollection of the fact that I've done this before, that I've tried it before and it didn't work, even that is not going to stop me, because I know and recognize that you choose people, even those who have failed at previous attempts, for the same thing. So Lord, today I'm giving myself, all the things I can do with this, all the things I can do, my gifts, my abilities, my talents, everything you have given me that makes me me, Lord, I bring it to you. I'm bringing it all to you in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, Lord. Lord, I give you my heart, give you my soul. I live for you alone.
I live for you alone. And every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
I live for you.
I live for you.
my desire.
This is my desire.
First step in wisdom, the fear of the Lord, and I recognize that my sins separate me from you. They make me feel guilty every time I try to come towards you. But today I have heard your word, and I know that you are interested in me. And before I'm too old to do it, I want to give the remainder of my youthfulness and my life to you. I want to give my life to you today. Please forgive me. If you are here and that is your prayer, I want you quietly, while every eye is closed, to raise up your right hand, and I'm going to pray for you. I just want to see your hand up, and I want to pray with you. Today is a good day to be saved. It's a good day to give your life to Jesus. It's a good day to say that I want to give myself to Jesus. It's a good day to begin a new walk with God. You may have tried it before, yes, but God wants to start afresh. He wants to give you a chance to start afresh today. Raise up your right hand if you're here, and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord God,
I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me from unrighteousness and make me a child of God. Oh Jesus, please hear my prayer. I want to be one of your own. I want to live for you, Jesus. I want your name all around me. And I want to be a child of God. Say, devil, I will not live for you. You will not have my life. not one more day. I want to live for Jesus. My youthfulness, my courage, my strength, I give it all to God. It all belongs to Him. He made me as I am. He chose my gifts and my talents. My strengths were designed for Him. And today is the day that I give it all back to Him. Lord Jesus, if you can use anything, Lord, use me for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen.